Good morning. Everybody wide awake? Good. All here or just present? Listen up. My machine that I usually sing with quit this morning, so I'm using a backup. So expect failure. But not too often. Smile feels good. Sailing on a journey, one dark stormy night, the disciples on board that ship were filled with fear and fright. But Jesus surely showed them winds and waves obey his will, for he quickly calmed the tempest when he whispered, "Peace, be still." He can say peace,
be still.
He can say peace, be still. When he says peace, be still, all the winds and waves obey. If there are storms in your soul, he is still in control.
He can say peace,
be still to your soul. Is that who your God is? Yes or no? Sailing on a journey o'er the sea of life, often we are tossed about with the storms of sin and strife. But Jesus is the captain, he's the master of your sea. No matter what may happen, he can say peace to me. He can say peace,
be still.
He can say peace,
be still. When he says peace, be still,
all the winds and the waves obey. If there are storms in your soul,
he is still in control.
He can say peace,
be still
to your soul. He can say peace,
be still.
He can say peace,
be still. He says peace, be still,
all the winds, the waves obey. If there are storms in your soul,
he is still in control.
He can say peace,
be still
to your soul.
He can say peace,
be still to your pleasure to be here today. Hush. Here's mistake number one. Train it by an iPod and the way it should go, and when it gets old, straight away departs. My wife and I are pleased to be with you today. My wife's name is Vicky, V-I-K-K-I, and Don. We have been on the road 46 years singing with a group called Gateway Singers, and we still sing with them. But we have an off weekend, and we came out to see some of our family up in the Fort Collins area. And I called up Art, and I said, "I'm open on Sunday morning. Could I come speak and sing to the folks at Aurora?" And he said, "Yes." Amazingly so. Art went to school under my father's teaching, and so did Brother Bill Paul up here back in Iowa. And I don't claim to have the brain cells that my dad. He was a brilliant man. And nobody has ever accused me of that. July the 16th, 1974, we started singing in 69. So about 5 years into that ministry. We were in Nashville, Tennessee, making one of our recordings. They called them records back then. Those are coming back. Actually, you get the best sound with a good cartridge, you get the better separation. And so those are coming back. And if you take one of those old ones and you don't want it to play it, put it in your oven, and it makes a good candy dish when it melts. And it's a holy one because it's got a hole right in the middle. We were making one of those, and about 9 o'clock at night, I went out to take a swim at the motel where we were staying. 10 feet of water, I had swum for about 20 minutes, and I had our 2-year-old son and the other family's 3-year-old son, Chad and Matt, sitting outside the pool fence on my car hood. So I could watch them, and they were getting restless, and I said, I'm going to jump in just one more time, then we'll go in. Got into the diving board, and I jumped up and down to get the biggest leap I could. Went into 10 feet of water, feet first, down to the bottom like on your haunches, and I pushed up as hard as I could to get out of the water. My goal was to have my body come out about waist high, and as I came up through the water, it felt like my head exploded, literally. Intense pressure. I didn't know what had happened. Somehow I managed to get off to the edge of the pool. Sat there for a while with my feet dangling, and the water, and the longer I sat there, the more nauseous I became. Toes of my left foot began to tingle. And I told the boys, I'm going to go for help. I don't feel well. Just stay put. When you tell 2- and 3-year-olds that, do you expect them to do that? Yeah, you do. When I grew up, my dad would take my brother Ron, who's 50 minutes younger than me, take us to the barber shop, and he'd say, sit, and I'll be back. And we did, because we knew the other end of the belt. If we didn't do that, or his hand, some form of encouragement to stay put. Well, I told the boys, just stay put, or somebody will come get you. I got right in front of the checkout counter and began to throw up. Got in my hand and ran outside. There was a patch of grass about that wide between the parking lot and the sidewalk. And that's where I laid down. And next thing I knew, there was a lady walking across the parking lot with those two little boys, one in each hand. And she said, do you know whose kids these are? I said, yeah, they're mine. I don't feel well. Can you get some help? From that point, I was rushed to a hospital, and that was before the days of CAT scans. This was 74. And the doctor said, you have a pressure headache. Gave me pain pills and sent me back to the hotel. And that was on Tuesday. On Friday, we went back and did the other half of the recording. Again, I was rushed to a second hospital. Same thing. More pain pills. Let me ride in the back seat of a car to Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I ended up for 49 days. And there they found that I had a brain aneurysm. If you know anything about that word at all, you know you're looking at a miracle. To be vertical instead of this way, to be thinking, smiling, talking, raising my family, we indeed are blessed. This is Thanksgiving season, right? Got to count your blessings and not your bruises. Easy to do the other, because we've all got a few bruises. I still wear paralysis. I went paralyzed about on the 8th day after a test where they found the aneurysm. And I've been paralyzed ever since. That's a hand that used to play the piano, play the guitar. This is a voice that used to sing high tenor. Now it burps a little bass. Everything has changed. It's like going through puberty the second time. Put your hand up in the air. Right hand up in the air. Now take a good, strong look at your hand. You're going to take this talk home today in your hand. When you see your hand, you're going to know this message. So when I ask you to do something, do it. Say it and do it. So let's do this together. 5-5-2-2. 2. Say it. 5-5-2-2. 5-5-2-2. Psalms 55:22. What does it say? Cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. He has never once let the righteous fall. It's again said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Now I like to come right down so I can look you in the eye instead of staying up there. So look at me when I talk and let's go through this together. Vicki and I don't claim to have very many answers, but we have a message from Almighty God who holds the answers. You are a human being. You are not a superhuman being. God did not design you to carry a burden. He designed you to give it to him. Now you can do that for a while, and you will succeed. But if you do it very long, something on you will quit. It will crash. It'll be your kidneys, your back, your mind. Something is going to change because God did not design people to carry burdens. I have a sheet of paper that you can take this set of notes home with you tonight. It's just on one page, but you can take the talk home with you. And I forgot to put one verse of scripture in there, so I wrote it. And my middle name is Hiero, hieroglyphics. So if you can read it, and sometimes it's Hallie. Halitosis. But today it was Hiero. I wrote in your margin, Psalm 68:19. You may never have heard this verse unless you've read your Bible many times. And it says, praise to the Lord, the God who daily bears our burdens. Excellent, excellent, excellent. You are not designed to carry the burden, the load. If you do, you will be the worse. Jesus Christ gave his burdens. He prayed many a time all night long. He knew where to take the load, to give it to God. Amen? So that was point number one. What was it again? 55:22, found where? The book of Psalms. You won't forget it. And by the way, are you able to follow me? I cannot hear you. You can't get it to advance? Yeah, you just got to follow me. I'm already through it, part of it. So it's not time to sit and go... Time to click-a-roo. You got to keep on going. I'm already past several of them. We didn't do dress rehearsal, obviously. So let's wait till we get that functioning. There we go. We already did that. Keep going. And now I'm ready to go on, so stick with me. Thank you. I usually quit when I run out of water. It's about right there. Nobody say, boy, drink. Here's number two. Take your hand, look straight at it, and say two words. Look straight at it. And say these two words. It's temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary. So how old is your hand? Do you know how old mine is? Mine's 65 years old. If Art invites me back 50 years from today and says, will you come back to Aurora and talk? How old is a hand going to be? 115. Think it's going to look like that? Uh-uh. Do you know what it's going to look like? This one. This one. They're going to be just alike. Because the word is, it's temporary. Take your Bibles or read the screen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, 17 and 18. It says, therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly you are wasting away, but inwardly you are being renewed. How often? Day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving something. He calls it an eternal glory that far outpasses them all. What's that mean? What you're going through in this life does not compare to what you're going to receive on the other end. And here's the challenge. So we fix our eyes not upon what is seen, but upon what is not seen. For what you can see, say that word, is temporary. But what you cannot see is eternal. Now you can see this. You can see scars of paralysis. I took physical therapy for 7.5 years, learning to walk, get dressed, talk, think, function with only one side. It takes a while to adjust to that, because you always pick up something with two hands and hold it and do something. And so now you have to make a mental adjustment, and part of that adjustment say, I need some help, and swallow your pride and let someone assist you. And I've learned how to do that. I don't ask help very often, but when I need help, I don't mind asking for help. So what was point number one? 55:22. What was number two? It's temporary. Here's point number three. And before you get to point number three, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. We were in Louisville. You would say Louisville, but it's called Louisville. When you're there, Louisville. We were there for 49 days, and we were singing at a church we had never been before, but we had met the minister, whose name was Clyde True, who's now gone to receive his reward. And he sat my wife down when we found out I was paralyzed, and he said to her, decide right now if you're in or out. I wasn't there in that conversation, but I imagine it was pretty tense. I took physical therapy with numerous men whose wives left them, and some women whose husbands left them. When they were down, see ya, I'm out of here. And that's why number three becomes so important. Cup your hand, put it to your forehead. You're not saluting me, you're taking a long look. Can you see way out there? You ever get up on top of a hill and do that? You're taking a long look. I'll guarantee you, when you're facing a deep, dark crisis, and the stuff is right here, nothing makes sense. Your vision is blurred. But you take some time and let it get out here, and then you can say, I see now. I can put the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's sometimes what we have to do, is take that long look. Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses, follows the 11th chapter, which is called the faith chapter. In the scriptures, many heroes of faith are named in chapter 11. And then this follows, verses 1, 2, and 3 in chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for joy set before him endured the cross, scorning, despising his shame, and then only, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Before I go further, I was taken to Iowa City, Iowa, about 2 months after that stroke happened. And the doctors put a clamp on the right side of my neck and clamped off the right carotid artery so I could live longer. My aneurysm, which is a bubble on an artery, is right at the top of the right carotid artery. So every time my heart beat, it put pressure against that. And only God knows why, but somehow when they made that incision or did their little, whatever they do in there, they messed up the nerve to my right vocal cord. So my left one is paralyzed with the left side of my body, and the right one no longer moves at all. If I turn off my switch right now, there's just nothing there to talk with without the little gadget. Thank goodness we live in America where we can get gadgets to help us communicate. So I only talk with that partially paralyzed left vocal cord, and the right one doesn't work. That's why I went from high tenor to bass, because I can't get my cords to touch. And it's a low breathy, because the cords have to vibrate together. If you ever watch an old-fashioned quartet, male quartet, the bass singer usually is a real tall guy, and the high tenor is a little shrimpy, squeaky guy, because the bass can spread his vocal cords and he just makes a few tones. The little guy on the other end, he's got those babies tight, because that's where you make high pitches. And so mine lies in a bow, and my left one is weak and tries to cross the midline to make, and if I get a cold, then my cords swell and I sound better. I don't have to take as much breath. I just soon not have a cold and do the whispering hope thing. So Vicki and I both had to take a long look about the time where I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. What are you going to do? Throw in the towel? Quit? Uh-uh. But you're thankful Jesus Christ didn't quit on you. He could have. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners, saved only by the grace of God. Amen? Okay, here's number four. What was number one? 55:22. Number two, it's temporary. Number three, taking that long look. Here's number four. You know, before I get to number four, I'm going to sing you a song. Let my throat rest just a bit. It's easier to sing than talk. Well, I didn't want to sing this one, but it's here, so why not? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind that you've often known. But when things change and you're down in the valley, hold on to your faith, for you're never alone. And the God of the mountain is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is the God in the bad times. The God of the day, he's the God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, but so easy when life's at its best. But down in the valley, through trials and temptations, that's when your faith is really put to the test. And the God of the mountain is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is the God in the bad times. The God of the day is the God. The night. We said the God of the day is the God in the night. I didn't bring an extra mic for my wife to sing, but she sang. You heard her. Hush. Number four. Everybody needs to be sitting next to someone. So if you're sitting by yourself, move next to somebody. Nobody's going to bite. Go move closer to somebody. That's the assignment for the moment. Find someone to sit next to. No excuses. Find someone to sit next to. Now here's the word. You may have never heard this one. The word is paraclete. Not parakeet. I know you know that one. This is paraclete. The word paraclete simply means to walk alongside of another. Para ministries is a ministry that walks alongside of. Paraclete is a walking alongside of another. The book of Galatians, put your arm around them, hold them tight. Now tell me, what do you feel? You two aren't sitting close enough. Tell me, what do you feel? Do you feel warmth? Do you feel support? Do you feel 98.6? Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Do you feel loved? When you walk alongside another, that's the communication. I care. I'm there. Let's walk together. We're going to conquer. Paraclete, never forget it. Galatians 6:2 says simple words. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we need to learn how to be a paraclete. Now, Jesus came to Aurora today. What would he be doing with his time? Where would he be? Well, how would he invest his energy? If Jesus came here today, I think he would be looking for people's tears, those who are hurting. You study his ministry, he often went to the down and out, and he lifted them up. Sometimes he talked to them pretty straight. Most often he went with them. He took 12 men and walked alongside of them. And today you are part of that church. If Jesus hadn't taken 12 men and taught them and walked with them like a paraclete, the church would be difficult. Not impossible, because with God all things are possible. If you come to my bathroom downstairs in my basement, I have a mirror, of course. I try to find air, but there's not much there. It's all wave goodbye. But I have at the very top of my mirror a decal that says, with God, all things are possible. And when the steam comes into the shower, that is still visible, very visible. Even when it's cloudy, with God, all things are possible. It's great to have a God who walks alongside of us. You want to fill your church building? Look for tears. If we walked your streets today, we would find some. There are hurting people. Divorce, death, children have gone astray, finances, all kinds of issues bring tears to people's eyes. Jesus Christ even had some moments when tears came. We sang about it this morning at communion time. He sweat as it were drops of blood. He cried over Jerusalem. Tears are where you find people that can be moldable, shaped. They are listening. God has their attention. So what was number one? 55:22. What was number two? It's temporary. Number three? That long look. What was number four? Paraclete, snuggle city. Walk alongside of someone who hurts. Now you can relax. But it won't feel as good, let me tell you. And here's number five. Take a psalm book or a Bible. You don't have psalm books here. Take your hand. Put it right next to your head. This represents the book, the Word of God. What do you think that signifies? Get the Word into your head, right? Now slip that right down next to your heart. What do you think that signifies? Get the Word of God into your heart. Psalms 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. What does Psalms 119, 105 say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We live in a world today, my friends, where you may not be able to pick up your Bible. Someday. It's getting to be a violent world. You watch the news and tell me how many segments aren't about violence. It's amazing the world that we live in. And it's amazing how the Word of God is not tolerated, but everything else is. So the day may come when the Word of God you have is what you've hidden in your heart. Finish this for me. Hickory dickory dock. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Mary had a little lamb. Where's that stuff come from? Tell me, where does it come from? You've hid it somewhere, haven't you? You didn't pull out a script and say, wait a minute, I need to read that. You know it. That's what the Word of God needs to get like in your heart. Amen? Without that, my friend, you could be lost. You need to bury it deep in your heart. Now let's just take 1 minute, 2 minutes, because they start throwing eggs at 11:30, and we're getting close. What scriptures have you hidden in your heart that have helped you during difficulties? Can you pull one out of the air, out of your heart? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I was just going to say that I cry out loud, or to myself, what mine is. I gave it to God.
Okay. Somebody have a verse of scripture? How about Philippians 4:13? It's got 10 words. I can do how much? How? Through Christ. Why? He strengthens who? Me. There'll be some times, my friend, when you need that. The strength of God. Because when you're down, He'll always be up. When you're weakest, He never changes. He'll always be strong. Amen? And when you're not available and you try to run from God, He is always available. Nice to have a God who cares. Amen? Well, when you take a sheet home, and I made a few copies, and hopefully one for each family, I put some scriptures in there about Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to His purpose. If you want an interesting study sometime, pull the word purpose out of your scriptures and look at that. And you will see God has a purpose for you. 1 Samuel 16:7, God looks on the heart, not at the outside. 1 John 5:13, these things have been written so that you may know you have eternal life. The next two verses say this, and this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And since we know He hears us, we know we have what we've asked of Him. Precious promises written to Christians. So my question to you today is, do you know who Jesus is? Is He your rock, your fortress, your shield, your strength, your purpose statement, your Savior? Jesus said these words in the book of John 8:24, if you don't believe in Me, you will die in your sin. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will perish. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, if you confess Me before My Father, I will confess you before Him. If you deny Me, I will deny you before Him. Jesus said in Mark 15, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He who doesn't believe will be condemned. I don't want to be on the condemned list. Do you? No way. I want to be on His good list. I want to hear, welcome, my child, enter in. If you are not a Christian here today, this is a great time to change your heart and follow Him. So we're going to sing this song, and Scott's going to lead us. Change My Heart, O God.